Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The ultimate symbol of funding that goes in a private school, boarding school, for poor kids, which the Democrats don't care about. They're on the side of the teachers' unions. And all that comes with that, the money, the foot soldiers, and just the ideology. And at 2 o'clock, we'll talk with Alan Dershowitz about this notion of Judge Marchand that's making a lot of news, potentially tagging in somebody if they can't get to 12 unanimous vote. All right, let's go to Guy. He's got several things written, and we want to talk with him about. Guy Shiraki on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Guy, welcome in. Thanks for contacting us, too, to kind of amplify a little bit of what I've been saying about Girard College. This notion, Guy, and I'm kind of surprised at David Hardy. I love the guy, as you know. A big proponent of school choice. It's good for Girard College to have them there, but it's fraudulent.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dom. Yeah, well, first, look, the school is run by the City Board of Trusts, so it is a decision made by a government agency, and it is the President of the United States. So I do want to run a little interference for our friend Dave Hardy. I have not spoken to him about it. But again, the school is governed by the City Board of Trust, by a group of government officials appointed by Democratic judges. So we may want to give Mr. Hardy a pass. What I won't give a pass is the national media, the Philadelphia media, that everything you just said, you'd have to listen to talk radio to know. The irony that Biden and Harris came to North Philadelphia to a school where every single child is there, because the parents and guardians exercise choice, being an administration that is 100% opposed to school choice, the campaigns against school choice, takes money from people who are against school choice, to come to one of the poorest neighborhoods of Philadelphia and talk about the wonders of the Biden administration, all they've done for black people in a community that's suffering from crime, inflation, and bad schools, so much so that they found a way to get their kids in this school. And that no one outside of talk radio and folks like you are talking about it is, again, once again, it's the press was asleep at the switch and missed the absolute irony. And no one asked that question. It is journalistic malpractice.
Well, you're the only one. I was unaware of that the city controls who goes there, because David Hardy is one of the biggest all time proponents and successful people with school choice, particularly with African-American students, some of whom might have had a little rough around the edges till they went to Boys Latin and they were then successful. There's a heck of a story there with all this coverage of it, Guy. Do you think they just ignored it? Or, as I often think, they're also incompetent?
Well, look, there's a lot of stories, right? To be there as any reporter who cares anything about education to not recognize that you're out of school, that first of all is not a college, it's a K-12 school, to not tell the statewide and national audience that it's not a college, it is a school for younger children, and to sit there, as you said, and have one of what somebody is recognized as a national leader. I mean, Dave Hardy is recruited nationally to give talks. He was recruited into Girard College to save it, to rescue it from the financial challenges it was facing. Here is one of the most dedicated, successful African-American leaders, and frankly, of any race, color, creed, or religion in America. And to not bend his ear for 5 minutes and ask him what he does at Girard College or what he did at Boys Latin was malpractice. But to also sit there and talk about the wonders of this administration and what they've done for black voters and not recognize they're at a school where every single family has chosen to leave the public schools of Philadelphia and find a safe haven where their children are safe and learning. Again, it just, to me, it's sitting right in the face, and all they did was just show up, take pictures and say, you know, Joe Biden loves black voters, and he brought Kamala Harris, and then they went and had a nice fancy schmancy dinner. It's just unbelievable to me. So who knows? Were they asleep at the switch? Were they lazy? I don't know. It's deeply disappointing. To not interview Dave Hardy is malpractice, and to not talk about school choice smacking them right in the face is malpractice. And frankly, if you walk a block, if a reporter had to drive to that school and see the community around there, but for a few of the oases like Girard College or St. Joe's Prep, you see a community dealing with crime and empty storefronts and schools that don't work, and to not recognize that they're, look at the juxtaposition. I mean, look at those two things against each other. And again, the story is Joe Biden came to Philadelphia because he loves Philadelphia, and it's just malpractice to me.
It is. I'm very glad you're pointing it out. As you know, that's one of the reasons you're in business and I'm in business. The media doesn't do their job. They're either incapable, in the tank, or a combination of the two. And then, Guy, when the president gets up there and tells these little kids, kindergarten, first, second, fourth grade, that they don't want you to have black history. And they're trying to rewrite that and get it out of there so you can't know about black history. I can't imagine being inside the head of David Hardy at that point. My God.
Yeah, well, again, right, you're at a school of choice. You're at a school where every single child is there because a parent or guardian picked it. I assure you that the history lessons that they're learning, the civics lessons they're learning, the American history lessons they're learning are a full American history where you can both talk about the horrors of slavery, but how we overcame it. The horrors of Reconstruction and Jim Crow and how we overcame it. But we also talk about the founding of this nation and the wonders of the Constitution. And somehow schools like Girard College are able to do both and not suggest that there's this false choice or that you have to forget everything that happened before 2020 that's somehow sinful and horrible. But again, all those parents are there by choice. All of them by choice let their children return each year to this school. It's a school supported by Stephen Girard's trust and charitable donations. People, businesses, neighbors, corporations, people around the city, around the region donate there to give money to give these children a choice. And there it is, dripping in irony about it. And Joe Biden talking about the, in essence, the horrors of what happens when you have school choice, sitting at a school that only exists through school choice. And it's just unbelievable to me to allow that, to suggest that would happen it belies the facts. That sitting there, you didn't even have to do investigative reporting. All you had to do was drive to the school to see the neighborhood it's in. All you had to do was read their mission statement, and all you had to do was a Google search while you're sitting there on who, gee, I wonder who the CEO is and what he's ever done. He's one of the most successful educators in the United States of America. He defied the soft bigotry that young black men can't learn. He brought in a Latin regimen that is every bit as strict, every bit as regimented, every bit as rigid as what happens three blocks away at St. Joe's Prep, and took them to national honors in studying Latin, a dead religion of centuries ago. And you have this giant of academia sitting there, and no one asks him, and no one asks him about Boys Latin. It is unbelievable. And as you pointed out, Joe Biden, as president of the United States, gets up and implies the exact opposite. It is scandalous.
It's a Potemkin village. Not that Dave Hardy did it, but that's what they set up there yesterday. That's exactly what it is. Guy, we're waiting, of course, with the jury. It's 8 hours and 14 minutes, according to Fox. They didn't put the seconds up yet. We're waiting on that. And, you know, you are Mr. Suburbs, writing about particularly conservative slash moderate Republicans in the suburbs. Do you think if Trump is convicted, then that will be the type of thing you've written one time? I'm a Republican, but I just want you to know I'm not for Trump. It's like your calling card if you're in Chester County. Will they say then, oh, yeah, I mean, look, I know Biden's bad, but I can't vote for a convicted felon?
My belief is that the outcome of this trial changes nothing unless he's found not guilty, and it may marginally help. I think it's largely baked in. Look, but let's not confuse the two. I think it's largely baked in. That doesn't mean that somebody won't be interviewed by a TV station or somebody won't be interviewed by a national reporter who descends upon here the next time Joe Biden comes to Chester County and says, oh, well, you know, Trump was convicted. To me, that's a fig leaf. To me, that is anyone who says that has already decided for whatever reason that Donald Trump is not the person they're voting on. I think this changes nothing, especially this kangaroo court. What has taken place. I cannot believe, and again, you know, as you know and your listeners, you know, I was for Ron DeSantis. I met with Governor DeSantis. Mm-hmm. I supported Governor DeSantis. But I mean, this, you know, this is a choice between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, and what is being done to Donald Trump is ridiculous. The jury charge yesterday from the judge to this jury, the instructions of the jury are, they would be comical. If it was a Saturday Night Live skit, we would laugh. But it is scandalous that it would happen to any American and that it would happen to a candidate running for president. So, look, at the end of the day, I don't think it moves one voter. That doesn't mean people at a cocktail party or somebody will tell the Associated Press that that's the reason. Anybody who says it, I think 99 out of 100, they want to vote for him anyway. This is just what they think they should say to be socially
acceptable.
How about
now, we're starting to see, to your point, I saw several interviews today all over the place of Haley voters in Pennsylvania. In this area, and of course, they're all saying they can't go with Trump. So the Nikki Haley voters that we saw, some of them Democrats in this, but some of them not, Guy, are they dead set against Trump? Is it a wait and see, you know, in significant numbers? Where are they, do you think?
I think they're all over the board, and they're among that very tiny group of people who are undecided. They're of that tiny, tiny group that haven't decided. And I think, you know, the next 6 months are going to change it. I think their default setting is not to be with Trump, but I suspect the economy is not going to get any better. The world's not going to get any safer. The border's not going to be any more secure. Crime's not going to go down. Gas prices are likely to go higher, not lower. It's going to cost us more to heat our homes. So all of those things that people say they care about are going to be trending in Trump's direction. Look, again, the Haley voters are, you know, the 2024 version of the soccer moms or whatever. It's the flavor du jour, and it helps the national media tell a story that tries to reinforce the bigger picture. Look, we all have to remember, this is all about the bigger picture. Chasing Haley voters is really about sending the virtue signaling message that Donald Trump is a bad guy and that only goofy people are for Donald Trump. And so the more they can fixate on this or that block of people, you know, professional women or Haley voters or whoever, the more they can focus on a certain group, it's a virtue signaling campaign to people to say, don't be for Trump. Nobody you know is for Trump. Run away from Trump. Here's reason 85 you can be against Trump. I wouldn't be fixated on it. For the Haley voters that are truly up for grabs, for the Haley voters that are truly conservatives, They're going to come home to Trump. For the ones who don't, they were never going to be for Trump anyway.
Parting Area 2, you have another piece, Guy. Tell us where. And the piece is about so-called moderates. Bob Casey Jr. is the perfect example. You write a litmus test, a reasonable one, that exposes these frauds. He votes with Elizabeth Warren 93% of the time. Elizabeth Warren almost out there with Bernie Sanders. So tell us where the column is, and what are you trying to show with this fake moderates in Pennsylvania?
Sure. The column's at Real Clear Pennsylvania. Website is easy to find. It's Real Clear Pennsylvania. It's part of the Real Clear Empire. Pennsylvania and Florida are two states where they invite local columnists to write. I was invited to write pieces on campaigns and continue to do it. So it's at Real Clear Pennsylvania. Look, I wrote it because as I say in the line, you know, Pennsylvania is a purple state. And so the Bob Casey, Chrissy Houlihan, Susan Wild up in the Lehigh Valley, they like to use the word bipartisan. They like to get their picture taken at chamber events. They like to share that image. And you do 5 minutes of research, and here's what you find. Bob Casey votes with Elizabeth Warren 93% of the time. Bob Casey votes with Joe Biden 98.5% of the time. Chrissy Houlihan's numbers of support with Pelosi and Biden are even higher. So don't let the newsletter, the warm and fuzzy pictures, you know, Bob Casey now takes pictures with this fake map of Pennsylvania and he shows you where he's been. That's all well and good. Bob Casey's a nice guy. I've had a bunch of conversations with him. He may be a lot of things. He is not a moderate. So if you're a progressive or you're a left-wing person or you have you know, hard left views of the world, Bob Casey's your guy. But if you're a moderate, this is not a moderate. And here's the benchmark. Not my benchmark, not Dom Giordano's. Here's Bob Casey's benchmark. Bob Casey ran for the Senate by being able to meet the press and looking at Pennsylvania voters in the eye and said, you can't be for Rick Santorum. He's with George Bush 98% of the time. Anybody that goes to Washington and is with another politician 98% of the time, you don't need them. Well, Bob Casey's with Joe Biden 98.5% of the time. So all I want voters to do is hold Bob Casey to the Bob Casey standard. He's with Joe Biden 98.5% of the time for the open borders, the crime, the spending, the lockdowns, the mandates, the weaponization of defense. Look, we don't need Bob Casey. He gives us Joe Biden. So he's not a moderate, and it's time we look at the data and reality and get beyond the pictures and the warm and fuzzy postings on Facebook. And I thought it was time to call out the Pennsylvania politicians who like to hide behind it because the facts aren't there. And as I said,
looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
If you vote with the left, you hang out with the left, and you let the left control the agenda, you're a leftist. I don't care what suit you wear, what pictures you put on social media. Bob Casey is essentially Elizabeth Warren. Chrissy Houlihan is essentially Nancy Pelosi. Susan Wild is essentially Nancy Pelosi. They're not moderates unless we've redefined what moderate is. Big government, open borders, no cash bails, men in sports, and violent crime is not the record of a moderate. And Bob Casey, you know, who thought, Don, we would live to a point where John Fetterman is the outspoken leader and voice of common sense among our two senators. Bob Casey is not even as courageous or as moderate as John Fetterman. He's failed the test.
Absolutely. Thank you, Guy. I like that Fetterman reference. Thank you, Guy. Thanks very much. Dan, if I had a dollar for everybody that says every time you say now Fetterman was at Harvard, his school took off his it was a graduation thing, took something off to say how he's not on board with them when it comes to Israel and the like. Are we allowed to say that? Or do you say, oh, it's all a trap? John Fetterman is setting a big trap here. He's still a liberal guy. He still shouldn't have been in there. But it is remarkable, his position versus a Casey. All right, I'm coming to your calls coming up. And I've been waiting for a nice spot today. I have an open letter from the president of McDonald's USA that's beautifully written. I wish, though, he would take on Joe Biden. He's tired of McDonald's being accused, as Bob Casey does, of corporate greed. Long letter, sets it straight. Why is McDonald's more costly than it's ever been? And he tells you the reasons why. He doesn't say, hey, well, I can skip all this letter and just say it's Joe Biden. He did it. And he did. He's the reason. But are people going to buy it? Are they going to say, oh, no, McDonald's, fat cats. They're just doing it. They're taking advantage of this now. They're really the ones, not Joe Biden, that's driving up these prices. All that straight ahead. Talk Radio 1210. Joe Erlinger, president of McDonald's USA. He begins to our U.S. fans. He talks about fans of fast food. I don't know, Joe, that might be a little bit much. Are people fans of fast food, or are they more? Well, Dan's a connoisseur. I guess that's.
I am quite the connoisseur of fast food.
Or is it low cost? I still remember the excitement I felt as a kid when my parents turned into a McDonald's. I think back to that almost every day of my job running McDonald's USA. And to my mom's love of McNuggets, he says Americans across the country are making tough calls about where to spend their hard-earned money. Recently, we've seen viral social posts and poorly sourced reports that McDonald's has raised prices beyond inflationary rates. This is inaccurate. And for a brand that proudly serves nearly 90% of the U.S. population every year, we feel a responsibility to make sure the real facts are available. I can tell you it frustrates and worries me and many of our franchisees when I hear about an $18 Big Mac meal being sold, even if it was at one location in the U.S. out of more than 13,700. Dan, as big as the U.S. is, that's still a lot of McDonald's, 13,700.
It's $9.99 for a Big Mac meal on Grace Ferry. I'm pulling it up right now.
Okay. The average price of a Big Mac in the U.S. was $4.39 in 2019, despite a global pandemic and historic rises in supply chain costs, wages, and other inflationary pressures. The average cost is now $5.29. That's an increase of 21%.
$5.89 in Philly.
Okay. He is setting that at the Biden rates. You know, this has all happened during Biden's time. It is around 20-21%. They go on to talk about here, too, all these challenges. And he says, Dan, that 95% of the franchisees set the cost, set the price.
Hmm.
That's why they're different in different places. Now, that's directly from his letter. And then he goes through a whole chart of fact and myth. But you know what this is? It's Larry Krasner syndrome. The guy identifies the problem, inflation. And then he doesn't point to anything other than these vague things that are out there. He says the inflationary rate. Well, where's that 20% rate coming from? It's from the time that Biden's been in office. That's where it's coming from.
I can offer this because is it his model of business? And I think the inflationary rate in this case might be directly tied to heightened minimum wage. And I'll explain.
Well, because, true, yeah.
Because Chili's, they offer something called the $10.99 3 for me. And what that is, it's a burger, fries, and I think an appetizer for $10.99. You can
right.
go pick it up. They'll bring it out to your car. And meanwhile, you're looking at a Big Mac meal for a Big Mac fries for $9.99. So for an extra dollar, you can get I got to argue Chili's is a higher quality burger than McDonald's, right? And I wonder why that is, and I look at Chili's, and their model is largely tip-based, right? You have servers making under minimum wage but earning tips, and that's where they're, you know, being paid. And then meanwhile, you have McDonald's where they're having to meet $15, $20 minimum wages for even their cashiers.
I didn't know that. Now, Chili's people get tips?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
See, no, like servers. A lot of their staff. I mean, you're talking servers, the to-go people. Hosts okay. are part of the tip share. But hosts, I think hosts and kitchen staff do make minimum wage.
Okay.
But it's like they're servers and all. And I, I think McDonald's, they have to pay their front-end staff more than places like Chili's or these sit-down places do because they earn tips with the sit-down crew.
Okay, yeah. So that makes, that's an inflationary type. Yeah, minimum wage going up excessively in places like California, I think, and New Jersey, there's pressure to do that. And the consumer is the one that's going to end up paying for a lot of that. Ro went to Five Guys the other day. Now, they don't have tipping as far as, well, I'm not sure. I mean, I've been into Five Guys with her a few times. It was small hamburger, kid-size hamburger, kids' fries, and a kid's drink. That's Ro.
Why?
And she
hands, come on, Ro. You know you can eat the whole burger.
She hands a guy a 20, and he gives her back $5, and she goes, well, I gave you a 20. You know, meaning she thought maybe it was a 10 or something.
Yeah, we're talking a kid's meal.
Yeah, $15 for a kid's meal. Oh, now, Five Guys is very good. I mean, I've had
it
their
is great.
Fries.
I love
yeah,
Five
yeah.
Guys fries, too.
So who's responsible? Well, this guy is taking the right tactic here, addressing this. But then in the end, he's not going to say, well, it's government spending. That's what drove it.
You ought to put the malt vinegar on your fries that they have at Five Guys. Why don't more places offer that? It's fantastic. You ever try it? No, try it for really. Offer malt vinegar.
It, yes.
It's next to the ketchup
fool,
there. You
I don't fool
with
around with anything on the fries. They're good by themselves.
Really? Just, no ketchup?
Yeah, no, nothing. Oh,
man.
God, you're messing up the taste of the fries.
Hey, Tony on YouTube. YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. Please go like, subscribe, comment, join the discussion. Says, hey, Dom. Or no, Don. Don Geronimo, what haircut is that? You know that's a hairpiece you're wearing.
What is it with the hair?
I don't know.
Again?
Like, it looks nice. Your hair looks great. And it's 100. Yes. I mean, I'll go tug it if you need me to. It's 100% natural. It's a beautiful head of hair there.
All right. Let's hope they, Dan.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHT.
Wait a minute. Let's hope we don't get caught like Trump falsifying business expenses from 1210 that the toupee is under show prep. That's what it's under, you know.
Dom, you're a classy guy.
Thanks. Yeah, Greg put it under show prep, $5,000. It's really the toupee. How's that, Don Geronimo?
Oh, man.
Still with the hair. Just because they hair, they want to have the hair, they have to say it's fake. It's just cut.
It's jealousy, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, and it gets messed up. You know how I hate wearing it. I would never wear a hat, first of all, of course. But I hate wearing this because it messes with it. Yeah,
I do. They do have really good hair pieces today, though. So
yeah, that's true.
They do. But
all right.
Yours isn't one. And
thank you.
I have great legs, though. Just remember.
All right. Just come to our Dom's Day event at Mulligan's. And
Minnie says, Dan, stick the tug in your own hair, dude.
Yeah. All right. It's 855-839-1210. Glad to see the president of McDonald's addressing it in this manner. Does he want to be more specific, though? And have we reached a point? See, I'm not believing the American public is going to be with Bob Casey and Joe Biden going after Snickers and McDonald's. I think they know where this comes from. How would you not at this point? But you just heard Guy Shiraki. That was beautiful what he said, the indictment of the media. Thank God for talk radio. People in America say, oh, they're going to Philadelphia. They're trying to get the black vote. It was a big story. Everybody in the world covering it. And they think they're going to a college. And they're talking to kids in kindergarten, first, second, third grade. Yeah, they have eighth graders and 12. We know all that. But a lot of young kids there. And they're screaming at them that America hates them, essentially, wants to get rid of black studies. And it's the ultimate choice school to get in there. It's an oasis. It looks like a college. It's grandiose. It's unbelievable if you've ever been there. And I was going to invite on David Hardy. I'm glad I didn't, Dan. This came. They went to the city of Philadelphia and said, we want to use Girard College. Why? They want to use a fake place. They want to pack it with black people because Joe Biden can't. And they couldn't even do that. So what did they do? They did tight shots that make it look like there's a crowd there. There's probably 500, 600 people, including the kids.
It was very deceiving. I thought there was much more than there actually
was.
Yeah,
when you look at the wide shot from the New York Post, and they made the media thing huge, you know, because there was a good bit of media, but they doubled or tripled in size with cables. Well, we can't go in there. That's why there was no crowd.
How do you not fill a gym like that?
With president and vice president.
Right.
In the middle of a campaign. And all those sycophants in the Democrat Party, you think the war. How about the unions? Don't you think they would bring those guys out? Apparently not.
You think Trump could fill the Leah course?
Yes. If he did a rally here in Philadelphia, first of all, it's impossible to do given what would happen, the pitch battle and all. But yes, he could fill that. People would go.
Yeah.
All right, 855-839-1210. I'm coming to your calls. Dan tells me he's got an unbelievable Dan time with Dom, so be ready, particularly on YouTube. How many thumbs up will you give this today? We're starting to rate the Dan time with Dom. Alan Dershowitz at 2 o'clock. Does he really believe Judge Marchand? There's a realistic chance, if there's a holdout or two, he could tag in. He's got six alternate jurors. He could tag them in and then tag Trump. The media is just giving the vibe, I don't know why, that we're going to get a verdict today. I'm not in that camp. I think we're a good bit away from a verdict today. I'd be very surprised. Now, tomorrow, getaway day for the weekend, something could happen. Dr. Giordano show. You know, over the years, I really liked the idea of this down the shore and that expression, the columnist Dan, it appears every Thursday, Amy Rosenberg. But then last year, Ms. Rosenberg started on the whales thing, you know, like we're knuckle draggers. And she had some ship captain who had a PhD lecture on that in the column. Today, Dan, the Down the Shore column asked people if they're sick and tired of political flags at the beach. Now, here's the issue. The only one that I know of, Dan, that's been popular enough to have flags on boats and at the beach is Donald J. Trump. I don't remember any other politician when all this stuff started having that kind of popularity. Well, and it irks these people.
I'm a politician, but I disagree on politics.
Right.
Like a LGBT flag.
Yeah, but a politician. I mean, a straight up politician.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. So she interviews people. Here's one, Joanne Pestrini. If you think windmills will ruin your view, imagine political flags. Donna Cassidy, political flags can be extremely divisive. Sharon Butt, as a family always had an American flag, but when you're on holiday, relax and leave the politics at home. Marianne Johnson Pozell.
What was her name? I'm sorry.
Sharon Butt, yes.
Okay, sorry,
I'm all in favor of the First Amendment, but seeing political flags at the beach raises my blood pressure, fuels divisiveness, which is the opposite of what the shore is all about. The only flag that's political, they wouldn't say that about the LGBT. They wouldn't dare. Or some other, you know, flag that's there. It's the one guy. That's what this is centered on.
Yeah, you're right.
Suzanne Floof. Nobody whose last name is Alito should fly flags on or near the beach unless a certain Alito finds an ethical bone in his body that would result in his recusal from cases involving the January 6, 2021 insurrection.
It's quite the crew, Mrs. Floof and Mrs. Buck.
Yeah. So, Amy, here's what I charge you with. You're taking a nice thing, all these events, all the stuff at the shore. The first time we had her on, Dan, I remember it was about these obnoxious, to me, putting up a giant tent that's a half block long at the beach.
Yeah.
If you're going to the beach, just let the sun hit you. Stop it already, okay? And we had her on, and we talked about it. I thought it was a clever idea.
Can't avoid the sun on the beach.
Down the shore. But the last 2 years, this is an example. What are all these people talking about? They don't like these Trump flags. That's exactly what it's about. There are not a lot. Dan, I never saw an LGBTQ flag, for example, to your point, at the beach. I don't know if you've seen them. I've seen...
Well, you haven't vacationed in Maine, have you?
Well, that's true. Maybe Rehoboth, but... I have not seen, I mean, I see the Villanova flag, I see a Phillies flag.
You know what I see the most, and
what?
It's probably political in certain circles that you ask, is the American flag.
Yes, that's exactly right.
So is that offensive?
But imagine the one woman, the first one, if you think windmills will ruin your view, imagine political flags. Maybe if a dead whale washes up on shore, Joanne, you might have a different thought on that. You know what I mean? They don't get either one of them. They don't want to see the Trump flags. They're tired of it. This is the first. There are three Trump stores in Wildwood when we were down there that were starting. And the cash register is ringing all day long. How could Wildwood support three Trump stores? You know, it's not that big. And until these 3 months, there's not that many people going there. All right. So, you know, that's in the Inquirer. Can there be any space in the Inquirer where you don't take shots at Trump? And the answer is no. It's supposed to be a fun thing. So if people on their vacation want to put up flags of whatever sort, that's their fun. That's the thing, Dan, I don't think they understand. It's not just political with the Trump thing. You know what it is. It's a lifestyle. When people came to Mulligan's, how many of them did not even go over to hear Trump speak at the rally? They stayed there and bonded together. That's what it was about. Got to be 200 people staying there. They went to all that trouble, but they didn't go to the rally. They may have watched some of it there, but they were with friends.
Look, I get the point here because I'm kind of annoyed because it's definitely one-sided double standard right. That you're seeing here, but I'm kind of on the side that it's kind of tacky to have a political flag. I always say, like, I think politics are fine in discussion right. And religion's fine in discussion, but when you're knocking on my doorstep, when you're knocking on my door to try to, you know, push your beliefs, that's when I kind of have a problem. And I'm going to the beach. Like, I equate this with celebrities speaking out on politics. I don't care what your thoughts are on politics. I want to see you act. When I'm at the beach, I don't care what this, you know, family who I've never met before, what their political beliefs are. I just want to look at the ocean and enjoy the weather. It's
well, I don't know if they're blocking the ocean.
I think it's tacky in person.
Oh. Oh, okay, all right.
You know, come at me.
All right, there we go.
I wouldn't do it myself. I'm not going to fly a Trump flag as much as I like the guy.
Well, we got an hour and 17 minutes
on the beach, that is. On the beach, yes.
I think
if I had a pickup truck, I'd fly it off the back of that for
okay, yeah. I think it's a lifestyle. I think it's more than just a politics over this, which leads me, before Dan time with Dom, to ask, what are the flags going to say? What's going to be sold at the Trump store if, sadly, Trump is convicted? I bet they already have in the back room, and they're going to roll out a whole thing. I bet there's 20 items that will be on sale at the Trump store in Bensalem tomorrow. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
Mini on YouTube.com/@1210WPHC says, Dan, you'll complain about these political flags, that you'll proudly fly your Taylor Swift flag.
All right. It's a vaunted, a much-awaited Dan Time with Dom next. Then Alan Dershowitz at 2 o'clock. Feel free on YouTube and social media to rate 1 to 10 this next Dan Time.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
It's Dan Time.
I can handle things. I'm smart. I'm like everybody says.
With Dom.
That's right. It's that time of the afternoon. Producer Dan takes over the Dom Giordano program for some Dan Time with Dom. And Dom, I mentioned Taylor Swift going into break. My wife being a huge Swiftie, me not so much, and rolling my eyes. But Dom, she is facing a lot of criticism in the great country of Scotland because she's coming to Edinburgh, and allegedly there's a lot of homeless people sheltered in hotel rooms that are now being moved out, forced out of the town to make room for Swifties who want to come in and see the concert. Dom, thoughts?
Well, that's interesting because here, if you remember, we wouldn't move the homeless or the legal immigrants, really, out of those rooms, Dan, for veterans when they were coming to see Army-Navy. I think it was in Chicago.
So apparently we prioritize Swifties over veterans, huh?
Yes, and over the homeless. Shocking. By the way, update from the jury. David Axelrod reporting that juror number 6 asked for an Alka-Seltzer. What do we make of that?
Oh, man.
Yeah, there you go.
Some stomach issues, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm getting nerves? You think it's nervousness?
Yeah, nervousness. Yeah. I'm sure that's good. If they're nervous, that means there's some conflict going on.
You mentioned a Mrs. Butt in the Amy Rosenberg story about the flags, and we missed this last week, Dom, but Wheel of Fortune, there was quite the quite the moment that happened, if you take a listen.
Tavares, right in the butt. No. Blake.
This is the best.
Yeah, that's it.
A little off there. And Dom, while we're on the little off there, let's talk about 2024. And back in 2020, 2021, during the pandemic, we had a lot of these Zoom instances with a lawyer who thought he was a cat for a second because he came onto the Zoom and was concerned that he was appearing as a cat. But Dom, here we have a gentleman who's being tried for a suspended license, Dom, and he's on his Zoom call for this court appearance, and he shows up while driving. Take a listen.
Mr. Harris, hello? Are you driving?
Actually, I'm pulling into my doctor's office, actually. So just give me 1 second. I'm parking right now.
You stationary?
I'm pulling in right now at this second. Yes, I am.
All right. What are we doing?
Your Honor, we are respectfully requesting an adjournment in this matter, possibly 2 to 4 weeks if the court would allow.
Okay. So maybe I don't understand something. This is a driving while license suspended?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And he was just driving, and he didn't have a license.
Is with the charges, Your Honor, yes.
No, I'm looking at his record. He doesn't have a license. He's suspended and he's just driving.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Dom, what is going on in
the attorney, that is correct, Your Honor.
What do you think is more of a joke, this trial or the one going on in New York with the hush money?
That's a tough call. I still have to go with this. Yeah, well, Michael Cohen. Imagine Michael Cohen's one driving without a license. Oh. What are you going to do about it? What do you make of it?
So, Dom, we're talking today three named individuals, famous individuals.
Yes.
And there's a lot about why these serial killers, these assassins, are used by three names. And a lot online talks about how media, especially in that time to differentiate, they would use the middle names just so, you know, Lee Oswald's not messed around with. But actually, there is a story behind a couple of these three names, particularly Lee Harvey Oswald. He appeared on a local Louisiana television show, Conversation Carte Blanche, in August 1963, supporting Fidel Castro, and Bill Slatter introduced the guy as Lee Harvey Oswald. Because of that, media, you know, They went back and saw that. Lee Harvey Oswald is Lee Harvey Oswald. John Wilkes Booth, because he was an actor, playbills would list him as John Wilkes Booth or J. Wilkes Booth. And not all actors of the period used three names. His father and brother, though, did. And I want to bring this up, Dom. Do you know his father and brother's name by chance?
No, I did not. I know about where the expression your name is going to be Mudd comes from. The doctor, Harvey Mudd, who operated on Booth to try to help him when he was injured. But Booth family.
Junius Brutus Booth Sr. and Jr., the lesser famous Booth, and then Edwin Booth, doesn't use the middle name, is the more famous brother than John Wilkes Booth, the better actor. But Junius Brutus, we should bring back the name Junius. You don't know many Juniuses, do you?
I don't know too many Brutuses. I kind of like Brutus.
James Garfield's a tried assassin, Charles Julius Gautier. He would use his middle name in some settings, but not others, so did newspapers. James Earl Ray, Dom. Publicly, his friends would refer to him as J. Ray, or James Ray, but as the conviction of the murder of Martin Luther King Jr. in 1968, he would write letters, and in his writings, he would distinguish himself from his father, James Gerald Ray, by calling himself James Earl Ray, and that's why we call him commonly by the three names. But one example of an identity to protect others with a very common name, Mark Chapman's. A lot of Mark Chapman's out there, and that's why you have Mark David Chapman. But some interesting stories about these three names, Dom.
Nice stuff. All right, let's get that rating going on YouTube and otherwise. How was Dan Time with Dom today?
A lot of Taylor Swift, so it's probably going to be low, huh?
Yeah, it might be okay. But that, after your flag commentary, I don't know. That may have sunk you a little bit. Okay, Alan Dershowitz is always a great guest. Coming up, though, last night, he said he speculated that Judge Marchand, based upon what he's seen in court, is the type of guy that if we have one juror who's a holdout, and that juror says, look, I've been here X number of hours, I've sat through all this testimony, it's clear to me this 444 stuff, you know, where you four people can take one element of a crime, it's a different crime, and we're all unanimous, that's ridiculous, I can't convict this guy, reasonable doubt. He could tag him out and put in an alternate juror. Now think about that. That happens, but picture in a case like this. Dershowitz says he kept six alternate jurors for anything that might happen here. Can you imagine? And if we get by today and we get into Friday, stuff like this will be talked about a lot more. We're now just at about 9 hours of deliberation. You know, if the jury's just playing games and they're thinking, how long do we have to show that we're deliberating, but we know what it is, then it could be tonight or early tomorrow. If it goes past that, there is some conflict in the jury room. And that conflict could play out to coming down to one or two jurors. All right, Alan Dershowitz next, Dom's Money Melody. We'll take your calls. People with three-word names here on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Stan, it appears every Thursday, Amy Rosenberg. But then last year, Ms. Rosenberg started on the whales thing. You know, like we're knuckle draggers, and she had some ship captain who had a PhD lecture on that in the column. Today, Dan, the Down the Shore column ask people if they're sick and tired of political flags at the beach. Now, here's the issue. The only one that I know of, Dan, that's been popular enough to have flags on boats and at the beach is Donald J. Trump. I don't remember any other politician when all this stuff started having that kind of popularity. Well, and it irks these people.
I'm a politician, but I disagree on politics.
Right.
Like an LGBT flag.
Yeah, but a politician. I mean, a straight up politician.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
everywhere. Gotcha. So she interviews people. Here's one, Joanne Pestrini. If you think windmills will ruin your view, imagine political flags. Donna Cassidy, political flags can be extremely divisive. Sharon Butt, as a family always had an American flag. But when you're on holiday, relax and leave the politics at home. Marianne Johnson Pozell.
What was her name? I'm sorry.
Sharon Butt. Oh, yes.
Okay, sorry.
I'm all in favor of the First Amendment, but seeing political flags at the beach raises my blood pressure, fuels divisiveness, which is the opposite of what the shore is all about. The only flag that's political, they wouldn't say that about the LGBT. They wouldn't dare. Or some other, you know, flag that's there. It's the one guy. That's what this is centered on.
Yeah, you're right.
Suzanne Floof. Nobody whose last name is Alito should fly flags on or near the beach unless a certain Alito finds an ethical bone in his body that would result in his recusal from cases involving the January 6, 2021 insurrection.
It's quite the crew, Mrs. Floof and Mrs. Butt.
Yeah. So, Amy, here's what I charge you with. You're taking a nice thing, all these events, all the stuff at the shore. The first time we had her on, Dan, I remember it was about these obnoxious to me putting up a giant tent that's a half block long at the beach.
Yeah.
If you're going to the beach, just let the sun hit you. Stop it already, okay? And we had her on and we talked about it. I thought it was a clever idea.
Can't avoid the sun on the beach.
Down the shore. But the last 2 years, this is an example. What are all these people talking about? They don't like these Trump flags. That's exactly what it's about. There are not a lot. Dan, I never saw an LGBTQ flag, for example, to your point. At the beach. I don't know if you've seen them. I've seen...
Well, you haven't vacationed in Maine, have you?
Well, that's true. Maybe Rehoboth. But I have not seen... I mean, I see the Villanova flag. I see a Phillies flag.
You know what I see the most? And
what?
It's probably political in certain circles that you ask, is the American flag.
Yes. That's exactly right.
So is that offensive?
But imagine the one woman, the first one. If you think windmills will ruin your view, imagine political flags. Maybe if a dead whale washes up on shore, Joanne, you might have a different thought on that. You know what I mean? They don't get either one of them. They don't want to see the Trump flags. They're tired of it. This is the first. There are three Trump stores in Wildwood when we were down there that were starting. And the cash register is ringing all day long. How could Wildwood support three Trump stores? You know, it's not that big. And until these 3 months, there's not that many people going there. All right, so, you know, that's in the Inquirer. Can there be any space in the Inquirer where you don't take shots at Trump? And the answer is no. It's supposed to be a fun thing. So if people on their vacation want to put up flags of whatever sort, that's their fun. That's the thing, Dan, I don't think they understand. It's not just political with the Trump thing. You know what it is. It's a lifestyle. When people came to Mulligan's, how many of them did not even go over to hear Trump speak at the rally? They stayed there and bonded together. That's what it was about. Got to be 200 people staying in there. They went to all that trouble, but they didn't go to the rally. They may have watched some of it there, but they were with friends.
Look, I get the point here because I'm kind of annoyed because it's definitely one-sided double standard right. That you're seeing here, but I'm kind of on the side that it's kind of tacky to have a political flag. I always say, like, I think politics are fine in discussion
right.
And religion's fine in discussion, but when you're knocking on my doorstep, when you're knocking on my door to try to, you know, push your beliefs, that's when I kind of have a problem. And I'm going to the beach. Like, I equate this with celebrities speaking out on politics. I don't care what your right. thoughts are on politics. I want to see you act. When I'm at the beach, I don't care what this, you know, family who I've never met before, what their political beliefs are. I just want to look at the ocean and enjoy the weather. It's
well, I don't know if they're blocking the ocean.
I think it's tacky in person.
Oh. Okay, all right.
No, come at me.
All right, there we go.
I wouldn't do it myself. I'm not going to fly a Trump flag as much as I like the guy.
Well, we got an hour and 17 minutes
on the beach, that is.
On
the beach, yes.
I think
if I had a pickup truck, I'd fly it off the back of that for
sure. Okay, yeah. I think it's a lifestyle. I think it's more than just a politics over this. Which leads me, before Dan time with Dom, to ask, what are the flags going to say? What's going to be sold at the Trump store if, sadly, Trump is convicted? I bet they already have in the back room, and they're going to roll out a whole thing. I bet there's 20 items that will be on sale at the Trump store in Bensalem tomorrow. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
Mini on YouTube.com/@12MWPHC says, Dan, you'll complain about these political flags, yet you'll proudly fly your Taylor Swift flag.
All right. It's a vaunted, a much-awaited Dan Time with Dom next. Then Alan Dershowitz at 2 o'clock. Feel free on YouTube and social media to rate 1 to 10 this next Dan Time.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
It's Dan Time.
I can handle things. I'm smart. I'm like everybody says.
With Dom.
That's right. It's that time of the afternoon. Producer Dan takes over the Dom Giordano program for some Dan Time with Dom. And Dom, I mentioned Taylor Swift going into break. My wife being a huge Swiftie, me not so much, and rolling my eyes. But Dom, she is facing a lot of criticism in the great country of Scotland because she's coming to Edinburgh, and allegedly there's a lot of homeless people sheltered in hotel rooms that are now being moved out, forced out of the town to make room for Swifties who want to come in and see the concert. Dom, thoughts?
Well, that's interesting, because here, if you remember, we wouldn't move the homeless or the legal immigrants, really, out of those rooms, Dan, for veterans when they were coming to see Army-Navy. I think it was in Chicago.
So apparently we prioritize Swifties over veterans, huh?
Yes, and over the homeless. Shocking. By the way, update from the jury. David Axelrod reporting that juror number 6 asked for an Alka-Seltzer. What do we make of that?
Oh, man.
Yeah, there you go.
Some stomach issues, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm getting nerves? You think it's nervousness?
Yeah, nervousness. Yeah. I'm sure that's good. If they're nervous, that means there's some conflict going on.
You mentioned a Mrs. Butt in the Amy Rosenberg story,
yes,
about the flags, and we missed this last week, Dom, but Wheel of Fortune, there was quite the quite the moment that happened, if you take a listen.
Tavares, right in the butt. No.
No.
Blake.
This is the best.
Yeah, that's sick.
A little off there. And Dom, while we're on the little off there, let's talk about 2024. And back in 2020, 2021, during the pandemic, we had a lot of these Zoom instances with a lawyer who thought he was a cat for a second because he came onto the Zoom and was concerned that he was appearing as a cat. But Dom, here we have a gentleman who's being tried for a suspended license, Dom, and he's on his Zoom call for this court appearance, and he shows up while driving. Take a listen.
Mr. Harris, hello? Are you driving?
Ashley, I'm pulling into my doctor's office, actually. So just give me 1 second. I'm parking right now.
You stationary?
I'm pulling in right now at this second. Yes, I am.
All right. What are we doing?
Your Honor, we are respectfully requesting an adjournment in this matter, up possibly 2 to 4 weeks if the court would allow.
Okay. So maybe I don't understand something. This is a driving while license suspended.
That is correct, Your Honor.
And he was just driving, and he didn't have a license.
Oh.
That's what the charge is, Your Honor, yes.
No, I'm looking at his record. He doesn't have a license. He's suspended, and he's just driving.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Dom, what is going on in 2024?
The attorney, that is correct, Your Honor.
What do you think is more of a joke, this trial or the one going on in New York with the hush money?
That's a tough call. I still have to go with this. Yeah. Well, Michael Cohen. Imagine Michael Cohen's one driving without a license.
Oh.
What are you going to do about it? What do you make of it?
So, Dom, we're talking today three named individuals, famous individuals.
Yes.
And there's a lot about why these serial killers, these assassins, are used by three names. And a lot online talks about how media, especially in that time to differentiate, they would use the middle names just so, you know, a Lee Oswald's not messed around with. But actually, there is a story behind a couple of these three names, particularly Lee Harvey Oswald. He appeared on a local Louisiana television show, Conversation Carte Blanche, in August 1963, supporting Fidel Castro, and Bill Slatter introduced the guy as Lee Harvey Oswald. Because of that, media, you know, They went back and saw that. Lee Harvey Oswald is Lee Harvey Oswald. John Wilkes Booth, because he was an actor, playbills would list him as John Wilkes Booth or J. Wilkes Booth. And not all actors of the period used three names. His father and brother, though, did. And I want to bring this up, Dom. Do you know his father and brother's name by chance?
Booths. No, I did not. I know about where the expression your name is going to be Mudd comes from. The doctor, Harvey Mudd, who operated on Booth to try to help him when he was injured. But Booth family.
Junius Brutus Booth Sr. and Jr., the lesser famous Booth, and then Edwin Booth, doesn't use the middle name, is the more famous brother than John Wilkes Booth, the better actor. But Junius Brutus, we should bring back the name Junius. You don't know many Juniuses, do you?
I don't know too many Brutuses. I kind of like Brutus.
James Garfield's a tried assassin, Charles Julius Gautier. He would use his middle name in some settings, but not others, so did newspapers. James Earl Ray, Dom. Publicly, his friends would refer to him as J. Ray, or James Ray, but as the conviction of the murder of Martin Luther King Jr. in 1968, he would write letters, and in his writings, he would distinguish himself from his father, James Gerald Ray, by calling himself James Earl Ray, and that's why we call him commonly by the three names. But one example of an identity to protect others with a very common name, Mark Chapman's. A lot of Mark Chapman's out there, and that's why you have Mark David Chapman. But some interesting stories about these three names, Dom.
Nice stuff. All right, let's get that rating going on YouTube and otherwise. How was Day and Time with Dom today?
A lot of Taylor Swift, so it's probably going to be low, huh?
Yeah, nah, it might be okay. But that, after your flag commentary, I don't know. That's, that, may
redeem,
have,
yeah.
That may have sunk you a little bit. Okay, Alan Dershowitz is always a great guest. Coming up, though, yesterday, last night, he said he speculated that Judge Marchand, based upon what he's seen in court, is the type of guy that if we have one juror who's a holdout, and that juror says, look, I've been here X number of hours, I've sat through all this testimony, it's clear to me this 444 stuff, you know, where you four people can take one element of a crime, it's a different crime, and we're all unanimous, that's ridiculous, I can't convict this guy, reasonable doubt. He could tag him out and put in an alternate juror. Now think about that. That happens, but picture in a case like this. Dershowitz says he kept six alternate jurors for anything that might happen here. Can you imagine? And if we get by today and we get into Friday, stuff like this will be talked about a lot more. We're now just at about 9 hours of deliberation. You know, if the jury's just playing games and they're thinking, how long do we have to show that we're deliberating, but we know what it is, then it could be tonight or early tomorrow. If it goes past that, there is some conflict in the jury room. And that conflict could play out to coming down to one or two jurors. All right, Alan Dershowitz next, Dom's Money Melody. We'll take your calls. People with three-word names here on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.